You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, super tax changes, is the market overpriced, and the current role of geopolitics in the share market, all of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 13th of October 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down by 0.8% to 8,882. We'll have the details soon with Daniel Martin from Alvia Asset Partners. But first, the federal government has made some major changes to superannuation. From 2027, it'll lift both the low income super tax offset payment and threshold, meaning anyone earning up to $45,000 a year will receive as much as $810 annually deposited automatically to their super fund by the ATO. The current threshold is $37,000 with a $500 payment. But it's also watering down its proposed $3 million super tax to now apply only to future realized earnings at 30% instead of unrealized capital gains, and it'll now be indexed. The government will also now introduce a second threshold at $10 million, above which the tax rate will be 40%, and that will also be indexed. And they will start from the 1st of July 2026. Here's Treasurer Jim Chalmers.
I do accept that this is a change to the proposal that we made more than 2 years ago. And I think what it demonstrates about me as Treasurer, but also, more importantly, about the government as a whole, is that we work through these issues in a considered and methodical way. We're always looking for the best way forward, and I'm confident this is it.
Treasurer Jim Chalmers there. Let's now take a closer look at the Australian share market, which fell, the S&P ASX 200 off by 0.8%. All 11 sectors ending lower, the worst performing, including information technology and energy. For more on the day's share market action, I spoke with Daniel Martin, a senior investment advisor at Alvia Asset Partners. Daniel, so shares are down today, but still close to record levels. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment and why?
Sentiment to us all year has been cautiously over-optimistic. Now, we say cautious because of the volatility spikes we've seen throughout the year on news that we largely expect the market to look through. Over-optimistic because since April, it's felt almost like the market's been running on animal spirits. They've carried us through really signals where you think the market should sell off. You know, you've got the US currently trading a negative equity risk premium, current account deficits at all-time highs, index concentration on specific themes. And it's easy to see why off the back of Friday's news in the US and maybe today that people are saying, you know, the investor sentiment might be weakening. We're still only 3% off S&P 500 all-time highs in a year that the S&P 500 has delivered 32 new all-time highs with a market valuation of 29 times. From Alvia's view, we still believe the market is cautiously over-optimistic.
Can we delve into the US in a bit more detail? Like you mentioned, at close to records in the US, even though it's over-optimistic, is there still room to grow there, especially given the AI run, or is there a bit of a bubble forming there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that's where everyone's currently looking is the US. I mean, go back to sort of September 30th and the US was run rating at about $1 trillion of capital flows into the equity markets. And I'll touch on AI shortly, but I think something that's often overlooked by investors is actually the growing share of foreign ownership that is in the US market. So as at today, the foreign ownership of US equities sits at an all-time high. The foreign ownership of US treasuries sits at over a third. Now that produces a very fragile system to foreign capital flows. So you can see this amplification effect of volatility in the market when foreign investors decide to draw back capital from the US. With that exemplified through the points raised earlier with, you know, negative equity risk premium, current account deficits and valuations. Now on the AI front, there's been this circular phenomenon taking place where you're seeing companies such as NVIDIA and AMD invest or strike deals with AI firms such as OpenAI, which in turn commit to buying their chips. Where it's very important to understand that NVIDIA and AMD, valuations are dependent on the success of AI, and AI is then investing back into those companies. So you get this circular phenomenon. One point we would raise from our side is that the broader AI sector is typically filled with companies that for the last 5 years have been categorically referenced as capital-light businesses. We don't really think you can call yourself a capital-light business if you're deploying $400 billion in CapEx on physical infrastructure, where if you think the infrastructure and you work back from the investor return hurdles, it is actually quite a high hurdle for investor returns. So we have great concerns around the US AI sector at the moment.
I wouldn't mind touching on the geopolitical scene at the moment and the impact on markets if we can. We know that President Trump has been escalating his trade conflict with China, for example, following Beijing's tighter rare earth restrictions. And of course, the big headlines today out of the Middle East and the ongoing ceasefire. What's your take and how are those two type of things impacting markets?
We'll touch on those points. I mean, the Trump war is largely hasn't gone away since April. From us, it's just been merely delayed. The war, so Ukraine, Russia, and Middle East war has largely been absorbed by markets. The rare earth restrictions is different. It's definitely a sector specific. Gives a bit of a signal with more disputes to come. But I think this all comes back to a really core point that when you look at the valuations geographically, markets have really crept up in certain areas. And when you see that the influence of the macro backdrop, so the geopolitics that we discussed about, really starts to impact and draw and create this volatile impact in markets, whereas the fundamentals of businesses, you know, such as earnings growth, moat, competitive dynamics start to have less and less impact on valuation. Being priced for continued excellence creates this dynamic of significant volatility from events that we think you should look forward, look, sorry, should look through. A great example of that is we own a termite business. You know, it has an excellent business model. It's largely unrelated to all the macro events we're discussing. And yet because of the valuations, the headline market multiples, it gets caught up and has a little bit of a pullback in this environment.
And so finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So at Alvia, we don't try and time tops and bottoms. You know, we manage through cycle. We think about investors should be really doing a broader look at geographical exposure and asset allocation. So on the equities front, we're looking at durable businesses that can operate under prudent capital management, so either redeploying for organic growth or reinvesting the business and returning the capital to shareholders. In the US, if you want to be there, we think, you know, the small to mid-cap space is definitely looking sort of around the early 2000s value investors multiples, where you could get some great opportunities there. More broadly, Asia is attractive to us as a growth corridor. And the relative valuation certainly presents an attractive opportunity. From an asset allocation front, we feel that sometimes it's a bit of an afterthought for investors where, I mean, in the US, there's more ETFs available than there are actually listed securities. So we'll take that one with a bit of a intrigue. But you kind of can end up with a portfolio of mishmashed outcomes where you get a lot of themes and ideas just put together but not thought about in detail. Whenever you construct a portfolio, we believe there needs to be a deep emphasis as to why the asset class is present. Why does that actually belong as a part of your total portfolio? So with that in mind, we've been looking at commodities. We think that is an incredibly interesting space. The structural underinvestment that's occurred over the last 15 years paired with the upcoming CapEx spend globally, when you think about growth that has to be delivered. We think the listed investment credit grade market's actually quite interesting. You know, you can sit around the high 4%, low 5% for not a significant amount of risk when you look through those businesses. And we think REITs locally in Australia, although they've gotten a bit tighter, the smaller end of town continues to be quite attractive, still trading at discounts to NTAs with pretty inoffensive gearing, a great yield. And if you believe in the tailwind that is the rate cutting cycle Australia might go through, you could really see those valuations start to shore up.
That's Daniel Martin there from Alvia Asset Partners. And he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Business Ricardo and at YouTube at Ricardo Gonsalves. I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.